you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's there. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, February 3rd, 2017. Standing over me in the studio is Wednesday and Friday co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo. And is this the first time where you've stood up in this locale?
Yeah, I've tried my best to sit down as you would have me, but it just is not going to work. I'm a stander.
Yep. Used to preaching. In fact, at the home studio, we had the setup where there was that, I guess you could say, an equipment cabinet shelving that hosted like a couple old pieces of equipment.
I missed that with the lion eye towel on the top.
Oh, yeah, that's my...
Now I don't have that anymore.
Towel.
Yeah, I mean, how many cups of coffee did I spill on that thing? I spilled things on it before.
Crumbs, you know, fell from your chin.
That's true. We've been through quite a lot. Where is that thing?
Hey, and how about the new digs? I was getting that from one of those commercials. It was kind of, oh, that was the TV spot. Channel 3 WCIA had done a little story, and the one, they had like those three hosts, and the one's like, talk about the new Christian digs that you got to see. And I was like, oh, I haven't heard that term in a long time. But, yeah, you would have to say I dress a little more appropriate than the
you
old
do.
Days.
You actually dress.
Yeah, that's right.
So, when I walk in here, I don't have to be concerned at all, you know.
Yeah. And the shaving usually has taken place. Most of the times I'm clean shaved, and there have been some cleanup. So, anyways, I got to be more presentable for those that might stop by or head this way. But we are open. Generally, the hours are 10 to 5, and we have a lot of these Tootsie Roll banks that you can have filled with about 20 Tootsie Rolls, and then it becomes a little bank that you can save up some money, and if you feel led, give back to the radio station or other ministries or just have fun with it. But we're open 10 to 5. We're at Lincoln Square, and they used to call it, many of you are familiar with Lincoln Square Mall, but they're just calling it Lincoln Square, and we're unit 112 right across from the food court. And we're utilizing, at least at this point, Unit 112 and 114. We continue to pray whether God would move us forward on signing some kind of lease agreement, if it's available. Right now we have kind of this short-term, ongoing, nominal fee to utilize 114. But at any point, if a tenant comes in, we have to move everything back from over there into here. That would be a kind of a sad day, but if God's in it, and he is in it, then we trust it's his plan. Mm-hmm. But if he continues to allow us to use that space, I think at some point we're going to want to move forward and say, hey, let's commit to really cleaning it up, getting it all set, and utilizing it for a number of activities, including the Singing Men of GNN and the theater troupe and other gatherings where it's easy to have food and things set up there. And I have played a lot more ping pong. I've probably played ping pong over there now about 6 times, and I've met my match. I mean, way beyond my match. I'm a decent player. I think I've shared that. I shared it with the Singing Men. They're going, you're bragging. I said, no, I'm okay. I mean, I can hold my own with an average player, but these two Chinese guys that are in the conversational English class, I mean, I could barely return the serve. I mean, they're like way levels above me. But it's great because I thought if I play them on an ongoing basis, I'll get really good because these guys are off the charts good. And it would be a good day if I could get 6 to 8 points, then I would think, like, I'm really getting good. Mm. But one of their serves, they hold the paddle like how many of the Chinese do that unique way. And he has like a 200, I mean, he has a big buck paddle that's, you know, custom. And I think that's how he can put all the spin on it because, I mean, there's times he serves and I don't know what to do because it just hits my paddle and it just goes boing.
Hit it back.
Yeah.
Hit it back.
Yeah, I try. But we've had some good volleys and it's a lot
of
fun.
Don't start World War III over ping pong.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, well, who was here the other day? It was after Singing Men or something. And it was Budget Tours. And he was...
the stirrer.
Yeah, the stirrer. We were recounting how you weren't on this trip. It was years ago. But it was the Israelis against the Americans. It was a ping pong tournament down in Eilat, and they had these ping pong tables out on the not the veranda, but whatever, the outside the hotel, but mm-hmm. on these kind of patio areas. And so you had the wind factor going on, but it was a lot of fun, and it went back and forth, and there was a prize, and the Americans came out on top.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, anyways.
Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, so, but anyways, it's something we continue to pray about and would ask for your intercession on our behalf, just for God to give us clarity and timing, and if it's something to engage in, talk about and raise funds for, or if it's not the right time, or he knows the end from the beginning, so we trust in his guidance. But mm-hmm. it's nice when you set out a plan and he confirms it. And I'm not one to, I talked about this, I think, on Tuesday. I'm not one to throw out fleeces. You don't put God to the test. Mm-hmm. But there are certain times when you're praying very intentionally and you want to pray according to his will. And so you sometimes look for impressions or confirmations, or, you know, if you say, hey, this is the goal and we need 10 people, and suddenly 10 people get involved, then you could sometimes say, you know, God, it seems like you're really in it because you affirmed it through this or that. And so we're kind of at a point of just seeking the Lord. Does it make sense? Certainly it's a luxury closely becoming a necessity. I don't know if we're there yet, but I mentioned that a little, that we're just trying to seek the Lord. And if you have any interest in knowing more about this Great News Radio Center and how God is using it, please stop by anytime, 10 to 5, and I'll show you around, show you the studio, show you what God's doing here. And
put
show
you to
you
work.
Yeah, that's true. If I'm doing a mailing here, or folding, or sticker, somebody came one day and they put the 500 stickers on all those Tootsie Roll canisters. Anyways, it's exciting to be here and to watch people walk by. And we had another new gentleman for our singing men rehearsal on Monday night. And he had just come by and had talked with me at one point and showed up on Monday and sang with us. And hopefully he'll be a part of the group. And others have come by. I have a table in front of the window of room 114, right next to us, unit 114. And it has all of our literature program guides, conversational English, flyers, surveys, and then the upcoming events listing. And when anyone stops by and picks it up, because there's a lot of walkers in this mall, I'll many times jump out there and, hey, are you new to the radio ministry? And talk with them, and I'll show them around. And it's been kind of fascinating to see how many people have never tuned in before, or is like, wow, you have a theater troupe and a singing men's group, and you do trips to Israel, and you're bringing concerts. Wow, this mall really needs you. And then generally, if they're 40 or older, we'll reminisce about, I got married and we had a reception dinner here, and our honeymoon was in that hotel, Jumer's, years ago, or our high school had this event there on a Sunday. And so many people throughout the area have stories about the old Jumer's, now called the Landmark Hotel, which is closed. But we're praying that God will somehow bring in a new tenant or an owner, revamp that, and bring some more life into this mall. But we're praying right now. Our role is to be beaming the good news message of Jesus and extending love and care to those saints that walk by and those seekers that don't know yet that they need the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Speaking of prayer, you know, as you were saying that, I flipped over my Bible to Psalm 5. And Psalm 5 is one I've been reading. I read with a group of guys, I think it was a week ago, and we really gleaned some interesting things from Psalm 5 and what God says there, and particularly pertaining to prayer. You know, David in Psalm 3 and 4, his son Absalom has turned on him, along with one of his devoted counselors. And it's been a pretty heavy time for David. He's brokenhearted. He's frustrated. He's fearful. He's like many of us are during the days that we live in. And so David's days are not that much different than our days. I mean, maybe you're somebody listening to this right now and you're saying, you know what, I had a son who turned his back on me, who really hurt me. And I know how David feels when he talks about Absalom. And so in 3 and 4, David is trying to work this out. And then in 5, he takes it to the Lord in a powerful way. And he says this, he says, give ears to my words, O Lord. Consider my groanings. Give attention to the sound of my cry. Listen to what he's saying. He says, he petitions God three times. He says, give an ear, God, consider, and give attention. Three times, give attention to the sound of my cry. And then he says, my King and my God. What he's saying is, you have your way over me because you created me. You made me. And he goes on to say, for to you I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. You know, it made me think, Do we do that in the morning? I mean, David gets up and he says, Lord, you are my God and my King. Give attention to what I'm saying. Consider what I'm saying. Please hear what I'm saying. And he says, because I'm praying to you. This is for you alone. You are the one that I'm focusing all of this upon. And he says, in the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and I watch. And I think the sacrifice for us is not in terms of the temple. It's not in terms of a goat or a bull or some birds. But for us, it's a sacrifice of saying, you know what, Lord, the first thing I do when I get up, before I have to get the cup of coffee, Lord, before I have to read the internet, check my Facebook, look at the email, before I have to do any of that stuff, Lord, the sacrifice is going to be that I'm going to give you those first few minutes of the day. And I love how David says, I'm going to give those to you, and then I'm going to watch. Because I know you're going to work. That's what David is saying. David's saying, I'm going to watch because I know you're working, because you're always working. Jesus said, my Father is always at work. And so God is always at work. And David's prayer comes with the expectation that God is at work. And so he says, I sacrifice to you. I prepare this sacrifice specifically for you. Some mornings I just want to get up and say, Lord, I'm giving this time to you. And Lord, I'm just telling you this is hard because I really want to see who emailed me and who messaged me and who did this and who did that. And Lord, it's not easy because I'm so preoccupied with me so often, but I want to give you this time. I have to prepare myself to give up this time to sacrifice to you. And now I just want to watch you work. And David goes on to say something real interesting. He almost does kind of a quick turn, and we could get lost if we don't understand what's happening. He says, for you're not a God who delights in the wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. Boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. So some people would read this and they'd say, wait a second, I don't get this. David woke up, he gives this kind of threefold petition to God, and then he says, now I'm sacrificing and I'm standing and I'm waiting and I'm watching and I want to see you, Lord, work. And then all of a sudden he's like, well, but there's evil people and there's bad people and there's wickedness everywhere. I think what David's telling us is the same thing Paul told Timothy when he wrote to Timothy, and he said, of the sinners, I'm chief. When Paul was essentially telling Timothy, the closer I get to God, the more I see sinfulness. The more I see wickedness. And I wondered, as I read this passage, and commentators haven't really talked about this too much, Mark, but I wonder if Paul saw a little bit of the evil that dwells in men in his own self in that moment. That he saw a little bit of the wickedness that dwells in men in himself.
That David did?
Yeah, that David did. As he's praying to God, he's going, you know what, Lord, these wicked men, gosh, sometimes I'm wicked too. These evil men, you know, sometimes I have evil thoughts too. I really do think that when we come before the Lord and we look upward, we also need to then look inward. Because oftentimes the greatest stumbling block between the Lord and me is me. And so where, Lord, am I wicked? Where, Lord, am I deceitful? Where, Lord, am I like these men that I hate? Because generally I can see the things in those men I hate because sometimes I'm a little like that.
Right.
And then David does this amazing thing. So he lifts it up to the Lord. He stands back to watch. He begins to see wickedness in a new way that he's never seen before because of his nearness and his closeness to the Lord. The closer you are to holiness, the more you will see wickedness. And then he says this, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. David says, look, I have seen wickedness, and wickedness makes me desire holiness more because I know the difference between right and wrong. And when you see how wrong things are and you're pursuing the Lord, you'll want what's right. You know, it makes me think of some of our reactions to maybe some of the things we see on the news, maybe some of the things we see in our world today, that, you know what, so much of it, our reactions are not good. They don't help to move productively along this kind of witness that we're supposed to have for the Lord. And so what happens is something wicked comes onto our radar and we respond tersely. We respond in a short-sighted kind of manner that isn't gracious. That isn't kind. It isn't any of those things. And David here, the answer for David in seeing wicked things is to want the Lord more. That's one of the things that I keep churning about after Saturday when we were looking at this as men, is I thought, if I see more wickedness in the world, you know, and obviously with the internet and everything, the way we're connected, you can see everything now. When I see those things, do I go, oh, I can't believe that. That's so stupid. Or do I go, gosh, my heart is broken. I just want to worship the Lord right now. I just want to bow down in His presence and acknowledge that He is the King of Kings. And we live in this really broken place. But praise God, we have a Savior named Jesus Christ. And see, that's a whole different kind of reaction. I'm not saying that you kind of close your eyes to what's happening in the world, because we're called to be in the world. But we're also called to not be in the world.
Well, I'm thinking, and also we readjust or recalibrate our mindset, because when we see what these people are doing that anger us, we forget that they're broken, that they're hurting, that they're acting out of pain. And instead of interceding or saying, Lord, for them to be protesting in that way or doing whatever they're doing, that behavior, they must really be hurting. They must really be empty. They must come from a history or a background of brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about them in those ways would be much more helpful.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and this is just honesty speaking. When we have these conversations about what's going on around us, generally what I hear from people is their frustration and their anger. And very rarely do I hear, and this is a challenge for you, the listener, very rarely do I hear, you know, I saw that thing on TV and it just made me pray. I saw that thing on the internet and I just got on my knees and I worshiped the Lord because He's good and only He can fix that thing. I very rarely see that happening, and that should be our Christian response. My Christian response when I see wickedness and evil should be to go to the Lord, because only He can take care of it. Look, if the wickedness of the world could be taken care of by men, then it would be taken care of. And by the way, let's remember that all of us who are trying to fix the wickedness in the world are all fallen people. And so it's very hard for fallen people to fix a fallen thing. Generally, we make it a little more fallen. And so what happens, David says he wants to go in the temple, he wants to go worship, he wants to do all this, and then he says, he begins to talk about them again. He says, but there's no truth in their mouths, and their innermost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of their abundance, because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. David says, give them what they deserve. Give them what they deserve. And then God working in David says this, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. So you've got this kind of David's reacting to these wicked people. And maybe hopefully David is looking inward and saying, where's that in me? And maybe at some point, I've experienced this before, where I look inward and I go, you know what? Maybe there's not a lot of difference between them and me, except for Jesus. And so I need to pray that they would take refuge in Him. I need to pray. I need to seek the Lord and ask the Lord to do something that I obviously can't do. And then empower me however it is He would use me in that situation. But I love that all would take refuge in you and rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. You know what? That's my prayer for all these broken people in the world, is that they would take refuge and rejoice, that they would sing with joy, that God would spread His protection over them, that they would love His name and exalt Him. That's my prayer for all those people. And I love through how the movement of Psalm 5, David goes from thinking, oh, those wicked people, I just really don't like them, to going, Lord, my only hope and desire for them is that they would know You like I know You. And that would change hearts. Look, the world doesn't change unless hearts change. And hearts don't change apart from Jesus Christ. And so I think as we're praying, one of the things we have to really learn how to do is to pray for our enemies. It was really an interesting experiment. I was listening to a gentleman talking about prayer. And he was talking about how they did a thing at his church. Really fascinating. So they talked about praying for your enemies. And this was during the election. So for many people, really heated time. And so they showed up on the big screen a side-by-side picture. One picture of Donald Trump and one picture of Hillary Clinton. And they said, now we want you to pray for them. And as the prayer time started, they changed the pictures of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton when they were babies. They found these pictures somewhere of them as babies. And after the prayer service, people said, I couldn't hold the hate that I had and the frustration I had when I saw them as babies.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, when I saw them as I think, and one person even said, when I saw them as I think God sees them. You know, because babies do foolish things. Babies bump their heads all over the place. Babies make a mess. And yet, God looks at babies like we look at babies, with great forgiveness and joy. And so, I just wonder what it would look like if we became driven to pray for our enemies. Driven. I would just challenge the person who's listening to this right now, and this may be difficult when I challenge you to do this, but when have you prayed for the guy who's leading ISIS? When have you prayed that he would take refuge in the Lord and sing for joy and rejoice over his name? When have you prayed for the political opponents that you so dislike? When have you prayed for any of those things? Because if you haven't prayed for them, then you aren't really invested in fixing them. Because it's only God who can intervene in that situation. Maybe I should sit back down when I stand up. Things get all convicting.
Yeah.
I should sit back down.
Well, now I'm thinking, so what's my answer for unit 114?
Oh, I don't know.
Where is it in there? Is there a citation or something? And 114 shall be yours.
Oh, yeah.
And for they you numbered bless, them 114.
For you bless the righteousness, O Lord, and cover him with a favor with a shield called 114.
Yes. The door has...
You know how much repenting I'm going to have to do for just saying that?
Yes.
But I would just challenge you, as you pray, maybe pray differently. Start your morning out by saying, you know what, Lord? I'm sacrificing this time right now. I'm sacrificing being at that coffee cup. I'm sacrificing being on the internet. I'm sacrificing all of that right now, Lord, because I just want to talk to you. I want to lay these things before you, and I want to spend today watching where you're working. You know, one thing I would maybe challenge you, take an index card, write down what it is that you prayed, carry it in your pocket, and as you're going through the day, take it out of your pocket and look at it and say, how is the Lord working in this? So that you have to keep yourself watching, have to keep yourself looking for what the Lord is doing, because he's working. And I'm going to tell you, your faith will increase as you see the Lord at work.
And your faith will increase as you assemble with other like-minded believers in an area Bible-believing church this Sunday. Please attend one of these local congregations. You'll be blessed by the pastor's preaching and dividing of the Word of God. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.